Thankful for each and every one who's here today, and glad that you have found it in your heart to come out, be in the house of God. Thankful for a visitor with us today, and we want to encourage everyone to make her feel welcome in this service, and we hope that God just blesses you and guides and directs you. We're thankful today for the grace that has been bestowed upon mankind. We're thankful today for His mercies. We're thankful today for God, who has all things within His hands. God, who knows all things. The Bible says He knew the end from the beginning. He knew all about it. And we're thankful today that we serve Him, who is all-powerful, but yet loving enough that those that will come unto Him for salvation, He'll not turn them away, but He'll welcome them. We ask that you would pray for us as we endeavor to try to read God's Word today. If you have your Bible with you, we would ask that you would turn with us to the 102nd Psalm, Psalm 102. This written by David. The Bible says about David that he was a man that was after God's own heart. Everything that David did, whenever that he followed after God, he wanted to do it with all of his might. And I remember seeing a depiction one time of how that David, as king, wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, into its rightful place. And they began to sing, and they began to blow the trumpets, and David led the procession, kind of a little bit out of sync, because high priests were usually the ones who did that. But David was so filled with the Holy Spirit that day that the Bible said he donned himself in a linen ephod, and he began to dance before the Lord with all of his might. Now, today he has written all of these psalms, and this one in particular, we'd like to start with the 18th verse, Psalm 102, and in the 18th verse, we find these words. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary, from heaven the Lord did behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those who are appointed into death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem. When the people are gathered together, and the kingdoms to serve the Lord, he weakened my strength in the way, and he shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days, for thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation. I want you to really center in and focus on these next few verses of Scripture. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou change them. And they shall be changed. But, O God, thou art the same, and thy years have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before you. Correctly read includes the 18th through the 28th verses of the 102nd Psalm. Our thought will come from Scripture that is found over in the book of James in the New Testament. And you don't have to turn there unless you just absolutely want to, but in James, in chapter 1, we find in the 17th verse, every good gift And every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom, and again, I ask you to focus in or to pay attention to these next few words, with whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Jesus Christ, in other words, the same yesterday and today and forever. Why? Because his Father is the same. In fact, who can tell today where God came from? Who can tell today who put the Almighty together? No one. He has always been. That's hard for us to understand. That's hard for us to fathom. How that God has always been. We have a beginning and an end to our life, but God always has been. And we find today that he will always be from everlasting unto everlasting God. Our thought will come from those verses of scriptures and others today. And our theme would be, hold unto God's unchanging hand. A song that always just kind of sticks with me and always kind of bubbles up within my thinking, within my mind. And I hope it does for you also. The one that wrote this song was a songwriter by the name of Wilson, Jenny Bain Wilson. She wrote this in about the turn of the past century. Seems kind of funny to say that, the past century, but it was in the 1900s, early 1900s. Her parents passed away at a very early age, and she was stricken with typhoid, and it did an unusual thing to her, which they'd never encountered before. It affected her movements, the way that she could stand and everything. And for all of her life, she was confined under a wheelchair. But you know, with all of that, she used that time, just like Fanny Crosby did, in writing songs unto God. And one of the songs that she wrote, as we said, is our theme and our thought this morning, hold to God's unchanging hand. She said, all these years that I have been in this wheelchair, I have always held unto God's unchanging hand. In other words, I hold unto his hand and he holds unto mine. God's hand is unchanging today. In fact, God is unchanging. There's no variableness, no shadow of turning with him. As we said in the beginning, he's always been the same. The world will change, and we see that happening each and every day. Every time that you turn on the news, there's something that is changing, either something new, and actually, as Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. But something is always changing. Some new approach to some idea. People change in their views. In fact, we even change physically. I hate to admit it, but I change even physically. And if you've looked closely, I'm beginning to see something that I didn't envision that I would ever see. And I know somebody's going to walk up to me and kind of look at the side of my head, but I always thought gray hair was just, you know, that's never going to affect me. Well, guess what? I'm changing. But we're all changing. And all things change today. Philosophies, new thoughts, new discoveries. It always gets me whenever I open a journal and I find out that, well, the theory that we had about time, here's our new theory on time. Or here's our new theory about the Earth's rotation. Or something along that line. It's like we're ever learning, but we're never, ever able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But we find that there is one constant. There is one thing that is concrete, always will be, will never change. And that is God Almighty. He never changes. He said, I am the Almighty. It says in Malachi, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Israel are not consumed. And so we find that he is able to sustain all things just the way that he decided. Now, you and I make plans. We say, I'm going to go down to Florida, to the Keys. And my friend, if things work out, yeah, that's where we'll go. But a lot of times those plans get changed. And it changes everything, the whole scheme for that period of time. But everything that God declares always is the same. And he is powerful enough, knowing enough, to be able to carry forth those things that he's purposed. Now, I know that sounds like a mouthful, and I know that it sounds like it's a little bit uncomprehensible, but you know, today, that gives us some assurance. In a changing world that's like shifting sand, in a world where that we don't know who's going to be in rule from one decade to another, it's good to know that God is always the same. He'll never change. He'll never relinquish his role as being, pardon the expression, the master of the creation and the master of the universe. And this is the foundation of our hope today. I don't know what your hope might rest upon, but I hope that it rests upon God Almighty and his unchangeableness today. Moses, in the book of Exodus, whenever that he encountered God at the burning bush, what would you do if you saw a bush burning and it wasn't consumed? What would you think of that? That's why that Moses drew near unto it. And God spoke even before Moses could put the words together. He said, I am that I am. Now, a lot of times we overlook that phrase. But what he was saying today, I always have been and I always will be. I am the Lord God, thy God today. And so we find that he never changes. He's always the same. And you might say today, why do you repeat that over and over? To get it into our minds that no matter what happens out there in the world, God will always be the same. He says, as we read in your hearing, there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. Now, I started to bring a light with me to illustrate this, and I completely forgot. But if you think of this as like the sun, and this is an object down here receiving the light from the sun stays the same. Everything else moves around. If there's a shadow or a variableness, it's because of the movement of that object. Now, the sun doesn't move. And that's what he used in that illustration. There's no variableness. God does not move from what he is today. He doesn't grow. God doesn't take supplements and grow and keep on growing and achieving and everything like that. He is just going to be the same. He's never going to be added unto. Why? Because he is eternally perfect. Think about that today. He's eternally perfect. We work towards perfection. And in the Bible, that means working towards maturity in the Lord. But God is just not only the same in his being, in his will, and in his purpose, but he is never added unto. He needs nothing outside of himself to be in existence. Now, this sounds like something that people in the dorms and college would sit down and debate late one night about God. But my friend, it's something that is in the scriptures, and it's to give us assurance today. He's unchangeable in his holiness. Do you know that God is holy? He cannot look, he cannot fellowship with, he cannot tolerate sin. Sin is the 180 degrees from what God is today. But he's absolutely holy. That's why that sometimes we preach about the tabernacle in the Old Testament. It wasn't to keep people out. It wasn't to keep God just right over here. But it was to make a way of approach to come unto God, to come before him, so that he could bless them today. Because do you know today what would happen if mankind in general stood in the presence of Almighty God? My friend, they would be consumed. In fact, whenever that Moses went up into the mountain to meet with God, to receive the law, God put him within a cleft of a rock. And Moses didn't necessarily see God face to face, but he saw, they say, his back parts. I don't know what that means, but nevertheless, he didn't see the fullness of God. Do you know what would have happened if Moses did come face to face with God? There would be no Moses. But what he saw was so glorious today, whenever that he came down from the mount, his face did shine. And they had to put a veil over his face because it even blinded the children of Israel whenever that they looked upon him. You might say today, well, you know, that, what kind of a God is that? My friend, is a God that is not only holy, righteous, cannot look upon sin, but he's made a way of approach unto him. Because you see, God doesn't want to just kind of remove himself from the creation of humanity, but he has provided a way that we can come to him and that he can bless us today. He does not change. His truth doesn't expire. He doesn't speak something, and then it just kind of floats out there, and it just dissipates. But his promises and everything that he has said, they don't fail today. What God has promised, he's able to do. I watched a depiction one time about the birth of Christ. And in the beginning of this program, it depicted the prophets writing down, reading the things that God had talked about and prophesied about. And their theme throughout it was, what God has said, he will do. What God has said, he has promised that he'll bring to pass. And this is in conjunction with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had promised, he had said, years and years, decades, and even into past eternity, that Christ would come. A Messiah would come, one that would take away sin, that would place it upon himself and nail it to the cross of Calvary for us, for each and every individual today. The problem is today, will man listen to it? Will man take heed unto it? Will man realize today what God desires for them is good? And we think today, oh, God is just so harsh, and he's just this, and he's that. No, it's us and our attitude today that sometimes is averse unto God. The Bible says God is love. He's justice. He's just. He's good. He's holy. He's all those things. But also God is love. Not the love we think about depicted on the movie screen or Netflix or Hulu or whatever you watch. Not that kind of love, but it is a pure, giving, unconditional love. If God loves you today, that love is eternal. You've been touched by the Almighty. My friend, all the other gods in this world cannot lay claim unto that. Today, we find that not only is God all of those things, but even his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the representation. He is a person in the Godhead. You see, he was with God in the beginning. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, all three. Now, it sounds to some people like we're talking about three gods. And I've had people challenge me on that, saying, how can you worship three gods? I said, well, it's very simple. In math, you have one plus one plus one. What does that equal? 30. Well, what if you have 1 times 1 times 1? Provided math hasn't changed. And that's how it is with God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so Jesus came into this world as a part of a plan, as the part of the plan, in order to redeem men from sin. We find that the Bible tells us over in Hebrews chapter 13 and 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you know Jesus does not change? Now people's opinion about him will change. People's ideas about him will change. They'll say, well, Jesus really was not this, but he was this. And he wasn't that, but he was that over there. But my friend, he was always the same. He represented God, and he was God in the flesh. If we could go back in time, and we could look and see the places he traveled, where that he was at, where he brought his disciples, what would we see when we saw Jesus? We would see the incarnate beloved. He said, if you've seen God, if you've seen me, you've seen God. And that is a gospel truth today. He is also powerful like his Father. He is also powerful like his Father. We find that the Bible says over in the book of John, the 10th chapter, 27th verse, it talks about, my sheep hear my voice. That is, those that have been saved, have been redeemed, that have had the blood applied unto their heart. And we find that his voice goes out even unto those that are lost, saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's no peace in this world except through Jesus Christ. And you've heard that before, and yes, we agree on that, but it is so true. When the heavens fall, whenever that the bombs fly back and forth, whenever that we wonder where that the next meal is going to come from, he is still there. And he said, you're my sheep, and you hear my voice. And he said, I give unto my sheep temporary eternal life, conditional eternal life. No, eternal life. Not even you today. If you've truly been saved by the grace of God, not even you today can break that bond. Why? Because you are in the hands of Jesus, holding to Jesus' hand, his unchanging hand today. He said, I've got you within the palm of my hand, and I'm not going to let you go. No matter what kind of sorrow that you feel, no matter what kind of conditions come before you today, no matter if death touches your home, no matter, my friend, if the whole world falls apart around us, he's still got us in that. I love that song that says he's got the whole world in his hands. And then it says he has the life of that little bitty baby in his hands. That's a powerful, powerful Savior and Redeemer today and Messiah. But he said that I give unto them eternal life, and no man can take them out of my hand, and no man can take them out of my Father's hand, because what? I and my Father are one. You've seen Jesus, you've also seen the Father. And then it tells us over in Hebrews chapter 7 and 25, he tells us that he's not sitting up in heaven. When he ascended back unto heaven, it said that he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now that's not necessarily a position, you know, that he comes and he sits down by God, but it happens to be in proximity to God. Why does he sit there on the right hand of the throne of God? Father, excuse me, I've got a text message here down below. Or, hey, could you hold it down, Dad? You know, I've got to watch the game over here. I didn't say NASCAR. I just said the game. But my friend, he sits down at the right hand of the throne of God. What is he doing there? He's making intercession. He is pleading your case before the Father. You see, today, no man can come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. No man can come unto the Father for even salvation except for coming through Jesus Christ. And that same verse of Scripture says that He is able to save to the uttermost those who come unto God, seeing that He ever liveth. You see, we don't serve a dead Savior. We don't serve a Savior that's over in a tomb. In fact, if you can find the body of Christ, that would just break it all down. You're not going to find His bones. You're not going to find His DNA. You're not going to find any trace of Him after death. Because why? He resurrected. He overcame death, hell, and the grave for each and every one of us. Sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us. Oh, I want you to know, you look at the tabernacle. I love to kind of throw things out to Sister Mel, but she's very good. And, well, you all are, for that matter, but she has such an interest in the Old Testament. And I'll throw something out just to kind of barb her once in a while. But, you know, in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, and you might say, why are you so obsessed with the tabernacle? You ever see the movie where that this guy had a close encounter with something out there, an extraterrestrial? And you know, he kept making this ship that he had encountered out of mud, out of rocks. Well, he was even sitting at the dinner table one time, and he started making it with his mashed potatoes. Now, I've not done that with the tabernacle yet, but you're going to know that I'm beside myself. If we sit down together and you see me over there just kind of manipulating my food and saying, no, don't take my tray off. I almost have the border of the tabernacle there. But there is something, my experience of salvation. I met the high priest, not the high priest that is after the order of Aaron, but the great high priest that's after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus Christ is the great high priest. Therefore, He is the one who intercedes for us. He is the one that goes before or sitting next to God. He's the one that intercedes and goes before God on our behalf. That unchanging grip has a hold of us today. My father had a strong grip. Whenever I was a kid and I was about to run off in the store, that hand would grip my hand. And boy, I knew I wasn't going to get away from it. But that's how it is with God. He's got a hold of our hands. Each and every one of us today that have been saved by the grace of God, and maybe even those that are lost today, God is leading you by the hand to come unto Him. Now listen to what it says over in the book of John's Gospel, where that Jesus revealed unto His disciples all that He was doing. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. If you're led by something else besides Christ Jesus, if you've gotten a hold of some new thought or some new way or some new religion or something that we do different, my friend, there's only been one way. And people of my background, they always said, oh, now, they're supposed to come the old-fashioned way. Now, I'm not making fun. And then I've got youth that tells me, well, there's a new way to come before. You know what? There's only been one way. One way to come unto Jesus. And that's by the way of the cross. That's by the blood of the everlasting covenant. That is the only way. And God, who is unchangeable, is not going to change His plan of salvation. We're not going to get through this life without holding to God's precious hand. we can overcome temptations and trials and things that come up in our life that we never imagined possible, never thought would happen to us. We overcome it, but we don't do it by our own devices. We do it by holding on to God's unchanging hand. We find that when we need comfort, it is good. When we fellowship together and when we comfort one another and we come together and we say, I need you to pray for this one or for that one or for a loved one or for a son, daughter, grandchild, whatever that it might be. It's good to have the comfort of God. But my friend, it's still that hand that's holding on to your hand today. Hold to God's unchanging hand. We are kept by that unchanging hand continually. David said in one place, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Who's holding that rod and staff? The great shepherd. The great shepherd of the sheep, Jesus Christ. He's holding on to it today. And I want you to know, my friend, that hand just doesn't lead us along life's pathway now. But in the end, when Christ comes back, I want to tell you what. I'll lay my Bible down and I'll say, receive me, Lord Jesus. Amen. I'll thank him. You will too if you've been saved. You'll be thankful today to see his coming. And I believe every one of us are going to see it. Every one of us are going to behold it today. And do you know what? He'll take us out of this world. How will he do it? He'll reach down. And you and I will reach up. And believe me, we'll never look back. My friend, we will be holding under the hand. And can you imagine what heaven is like? I tried to visualize it. Now, I know there's a movie where they say, heaven is Iowa. Well, it's a little more than that. But can you imagine what that's going to be like? The sights that we're going to behold. And do you know who's going to be leading us throughout that new eternal city? Come over here, Elton Church. I want to show you something. There's my throne. There's my Father. Father, here's Elton Church. Or here's an individual member, or here's Paul Cofer. And you know, we'll go touring through heaven. And there's a song that I love here. I want to stroll through heaven with you some sweet day. I don't know the rest of it. But anyway, we're going to stroll over heaven. So hold unto God's unchanging hand today. Don't hold any other hand. Hold his. Make sure that it's him. Because there's all kinds that are reaching for us today of every philosophy, every thought today. Time is filled with swift transition. Not a birth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Stand and sing the chorus with me. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. God bless you is my prayer. I love it when God helps me to preach. I don't know. You know, my wife worries that sometimes I get a little beside myself, and she said, I'm going to tell you, you start preaching on street corners and in the middle of Walmart, and all of that, you know, I'm just going to give you free rein with it. You just go at it. I don't know, but I love the Lord. I love him because he heard my heart's cry. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I called upon his name and he saved me today. He saved me today. And he has been walking with me, holding my hand. And he's holding your hand today. And he wants to continue to hold it until the day that he just takes you up into eternal glory with him.